It is right now. And as it is right now, and we're waiting for our colleague and friend, Volodymyr Omelian, to join us in just about a second. Let's start with the following, because it is time for it.
Slava Ukraini.
Slava
Ukraini. Heroem slava.
So, gentle people, how should I put this? We will, for the next 24 hours, have a host of guests, nearly 35 guests, expert speakers, regular speakers of ours, will be joining us, most of whom you know, most of whom you have listened to before, and all of whom have something to say. But the one thing which we're going to start with is a friend of the space, a former minister of Ukraine, someone who decided and elected on the 24th of February, 2022, that he could not and would not stand idly by, volunteered, and has been an officer in the CSU. Let me welcome Dobrycha. Oh, yeah, how should I put this? Friend of the space, friend of ours, Volodymyr Omelian. Volodymyr, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you, everybody. It's a great honor and privilege from my side to be present at your today's gathering. And it's definitely second year of world war, as we considered in Ukraine. And it was very tough in the very beginning of this war to think that it will last so long. But it lasts more than 2 years, it lasts more than 10 years, it lasts for centuries, actually, because it's really existential war. And I'm very grateful to my beloved Ukrainians, to our great allies from all over the world that do understand the danger, that do understand the risk, and united around Ukraine to help us survive and to help all of us prevail in this last, I believe, attempt of horde from the East to conquer the West. And definitely, for me personally, it was a very tough choice and very fast choice. I would say it was the fastest one I ever brought to life in my career. I never considered myself as a great warrior or Rambo or superhuman to fight the enemy with machine gun, but in the first days of the war, I really believed, and I still do believe, that only by physical resistance we can survive and we can win. There is no time or space to talk. There is no time or space for diplomacy or politics. It's only about brutal decision that there could be only one. And on this second year, we are still strong. And, you know, it's a great challenge for the nation and for nations to fight so long. But our morale is high. And it's tough, for sure. Many of us are exhausted. But we know that we cannot die. Because if we surrender, we are occupied and killed. If we win, this is the only way we can bring hope to our nation and bring hope to free nations of the world. It's a great motivation not to fight for yourself, but to fight for all of us. And I'm happy to be with you during this special night for all of us, which woke up us in under missile and artillery strikes all over Ukraine 2 years ago. And it still goes on. But I would say that it's a brand new experience because we were taught for years and decades by Russians that Ukrainians are simply funny, positive nations that can never fight and they only concentrated on their personal belongings or household. But reality proves that Ukrainians are strong and it's time for all of us to wake up. And it's time for all of us to finally win without any kind of, I would say, compromise or without any win-win strategy, because they want us to lose. We have to win.
Thank you for highlighting this. And it fits perfectly with the last time you and I spoke here, where we discussed in quite some detail the existential war as such and its impact. And at that point in time, when you were already an officer, you evidently had shifted your view from the politician's perspective of the past to something which is even deeper in terms of service to the nation. And I thank you for highlighting what you just said about the resilience and the fact that the Ukrainian society has gathered together. We've seen in recent weeks and months, a lot of commentary, a lot of discussion, the mobilization discussion, the various political disputes, which always occur. And people have said that, yes, the mood has shifted and people are there's a mixture of anxiety and of being afraid. But at the same time, we hear from the soldiers, we hear from everyone who's engaged in this, that yes, we may be tired, but we will not stop.
Absolutely true. And, you know, I still remember those first days of war. And even when the second week has passed, I entered the office of high-ranking general just to get the truth for my own understanding. He was very tired, looked at me and told me that, look, frankly saying, it's only 2 weeks left and all of us are gone. We are out of ammunition, we are out of weapons, and we will have to fight in forests. It was not the best perspective for me, in my opinion, but, you know, I was member and took active role in many Maidans, in Revolution of Dignity, Orange Revolution, and many others, which occurred in Ukraine, and when we sometimes even joke that it's kind of democratic procedure in Ukraine that first time we select people to lead us on the normal election, then we understand that some of them were wrong and we select them on Maidan and during revolution. And in Maidan, it was the same as it is in this war, that it looks like that everything is gone. There is no hope and you lost, but you stand still. And next day bring you some great news and right of the sudden you win. War is a bit different, of course, and there will be no magic stick or Wunderwaffe to prevail. So it's a bloodshed, it's a hard actions and physical war, but we are not going to step back. And even with those cases which happened with Avdiivka or Bakhmut, it's a kind of very clear explanation why is that. We were out of ammunition and weapons. And I hope that with last messages coming from our allies, including the United States, first of all, because I still believe and I know that Washington, it's a kind of guiding force to get all countries together to help Ukraine. We believe that we will be much better equipped, we will be much better supplied, and we will be able to save a lot of lives of Ukrainian soldiers and to prevail in this war. We are waiting for F-16s. We are waiting for long-range missiles. We are waiting for many sophisticated stuff, which is already on the battlefield. Just to mention, a couple of hours ago, another almost $400 million combat jet, A-50 surveillance jet, was hidden by Ukrainian army. So we are doing a lot of great things, and it also inspires us a lot that it's not only about losses, or it's not about lost lost campaigns. It's about success, and we can do it together.
Very well said. And Winston Churchill is quoted as having stated, "If you're going through hell, keep going."
There is no other chance, sir. Just keep going.
Now, having said this, can you talk a little bit about the mood in your unit and the people and how they have been holding up?
You know, it depends on the situation and location, because if you are not in active combat, you feel more or less okay. Definitely, you are unhappy with conditions. Maybe you would like to have some time for relaxation, not always available for you. If you are in active combat, and I also experienced such situations not once in my previous campaigns, you don't have time to think. You only have time to kill, or you are killed, and it's a big difference, you know, because if you are in the epicenter of ongoing combat, you are downgraded or downshifted to the kind of very physical reactions. It's not about brain. Brain drives you, but it's only about your physics, how fast and capable you are to resist, to prevail, and to survive. But if we take a general picture of Ukrainian army, it's getting better and better. Regardless of losses, regardless some political turbulence with the change of our generals, regardless that not everything what we need and would love to have is available for us, but still the soldiers are very highly motivated, and whatever happens, we fight.
Now, this brings us to whatever happens. Sometimes in withdrawal actions, there are encirclements of troops. And in other wars, this leads to prisoners of war and them being escorted off the field. Here, whenever Russians occupy or when Russians encircle and take prisoners, they don't really take prisoners, do they? And what we've seen and heard of Avdiivka is that a lot of troops who still have remained were literally executed. How does that affect the mood of this the mood of the soldiers, and how do soldiers prepare for combat, and or do they just blend it out at this point in time, given the fact that it's such a war crime and atrocity?
There are two sides of this coin. One side is Russians want to be as cruel as they are, with very simple reason. They kill our prisoners just because to motivate us to do the same. To kill Russians, even if they surrender. And we have a lot of Russians that don't want to fight, but knowing or thinking that they will be killed when they are in prison makes them fight. Second issue, Russians are Russians. They are always the same. With the murder of Navalny, the dream of another Russia or good Russia was killed as well. And we should learn very simple lesson that Russians cannot be educated. They are bloody and unfair and without any kind of justice in their hearts from their childhood. They are grown up like this. It's a kind of modus vivendi. And they are not Europeans. Sometimes they pretend to be Europeans if they travel to London or Monaco or somewhere in the United States and they try to behave as citizens of those countries. But it's a game. Underneath, in their real motivation, they are hurt. And they belong to this horde, which still exists in Kremlin, which still exists in big cities or small villages. And if you listen to their talks over the phone, which was recorded by our security service, it was recently a big movie documentary presented abroad, and families which send their beloved ones, sons, fathers to fight in Ukraine, they simply ask, kill as many as you can, rob them, take all money, belongings, stuff, and send to Russia. We need all that. Do not pay any mercy to Ukrainians. They all should die. So it's not normal. It's not normal for human being, but this is what they are. And we should stop pretend or even imagine that we can somehow educate them. We just simply let them live after our victory, but live in their national borders. Tatarstan, Siberia, Buryatia, and there should be no Russia as empire anymore.
Volodymyr, thank you very much. Very much appreciated and дуже дякую. Stay with us. We have lots of questions and we'll be talking to another friend of Ukraine and the space. And it is an utter privilege to have you here with us, sir, on this very day of this second anniversary, General Mick Ryan.